Chris's chosen reading is from Colossians chapter 2, and in the Pew Bibles it's page 1183, and on the back of the notice sheet, it's the last verse in this reading, and I believe this is our verse for the year, Chris, is that right? We've got to memorise it, be tested next week. So that's the last verse in the reading. So it's Colossians chapter 2, and it's verses 1 to 7. I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. And this is his last couple of verses. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I'm going to hand over to Chris. Because this is the wrong way, you know, for women it's for a tie. On a man it goes the right way, you see.
Well, good morning. Welcome. Good to have you with us this morning. I was just wondering about, it's all been in the news recently, how the nation hangs on the revealing of a plan since the vote. What is Brexit going to be? Hard Brexit, soft Brexit. I heard this morning soggy Brexit or crispy Brexit. I can't believe it's not Brexit. So the nation is hanging on the words of Theresa May's plan. Can I just give you a sneak preview? Whatever a plan is, it's not what will happen. So why are we so interested in a plan that is going to go wrong? The truth is that only God's plan is the one that's going to succeed. I'm sorry if Theresa May is listening to this. I know she follows me regularly. But that's the truth, isn't it? That the plan that we really all want to know is, what is God's plan? And then we can get in step with what his plan is and his purpose for our lives. So last year, we were thinking about that plan as a church and what the Lord had said to us. And we were seeking to respond to what the Lord said very clearly through our church meeting. Those of you who were there at the time will remember that we worked through a process of listening to what God was saying to us as a church and as individuals, how he'd spoken to us through the preachers that had come, through our own studies. And we tried to boil down to one sentence what God had said. And at the end of the meeting, I got people to write down those sentences and put them together. I just line them up one after the other, and this is what it said. Be ready to go out into the world. Disciple those outside the church and not just yourselves. Read my word, trust and obey. Stay close to me and let me lead. Listen to my voice, mainly through prayer, and expand into the village. Be more intentional in being witnesses to Jesus. Trust me as I know the future. Rebuild and restore that which is broken. Step out. Trust me. Love and serve me. Surrender yourselves to me, showing your love to others. Learn what it means to step out in faith, trusting that whatever happens, I love you, and not being afraid of failure. Trust me for the results. Be open to my leading. Led by the Holy Spirit, get out into the community and share the gospel. Led by the Holy Spirit, get out into the village amongst your neighbours. Make yourselves known. Go out into the village in the power of the Holy Spirit and share the gospel. Pray earnestly that you might know and do my will. Become a healthy church, engaging in relevant mission to create a wholesome community. Work together as a church in unity. Encourage one another. Use your own gifts to serve me and to serve others. Serve me and your fellow men to the best of your ability. The foundations are ready to be built upon. Get to it. That was very encouraging to us as a church, as we heard through one another. Some of you may recognise the sentence that you contributed to that call. And yet, I don't think any of us could have written the whole thing and have seen the whole plan that God had. And as you reflect back on the year, you'll think about how well we responded to what God said. In some ways we responded and did what God asked. In other ways, perhaps we fell short of what he'd asked us to do. Our year text for last year was from 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And that summed up quite well what had been said in God's call to the church. And we went away as leaders to reflect on the year text and on the call we received from the church meeting, and to think about how do we respond to that? What do we do practically to respond as a church to what we've heard God saying? And we felt that God was calling us to be prepared to serve, and highlighted three areas of response: to discover our gifts, to invite others in, and to go out into our community. Which rather helpfully spelt dig, though it took me 2 weeks to realise that. So during the year we tried to do that, to discover our gifts, to invite others in and to go out into the community in new ways. And I believe that many have grown in their desire for spiritual gifts. And we continue to follow that way of love. We've seen more people using their gifts. We've become a more inviting church and not just a welcoming church. And we've taken some steps out into our community. Has the PowerPoint been sorted out because I left it in a state that it was clicking itself on? Yeah, thank you very much. I could tell there was something going on in the background. So where are we up to? Right, good. That's about right then. So we're trying to respond to those things. And last year at this service, I said what I was hoping for in the year ahead, my hopes and dreams for 2016. And it's always quite interesting to go back the year later and to see what was it you were hoping and dreaming for at the beginning of the year and how things turned out. So this is what I said last year. Not the whole thing, just particularly the things I was hoping and dreaming for. A youth band, regular youth services, a presence in the village carnival, sustained midweek groups, a holiday at home for older people, a church weekend away, a growing experience of God, God's manifest presence in our services, and breakthroughs in individual lives, an increasing focus on and unity in mission with the other churches in the village, and continued engagement in overseas mission. Well, I think there's lots to give thanks for there. As we look back over the year, God's done amazing things, more than I asked or hoped or imagined, but not everything that I dreamed of. God also met our financial needs and helped us in the process of identifying what we should spend that money on. So that was last year, and we had a great service last week thanking God for what he did last year. But we need now to build on those foundations, to take what God has given us and to move on with what he said. So what now? What's your vision for the coming year? My what? I haven't thought about that. I've only just got through Christmas. But you know, God asks you as his servants, as his royal priesthood, to lift your eyes, to fix them on him, and to seek him, to find his will and purpose in this year. To live a life on purpose for the year, rather than just being dragged along by the tide of events. So what is your vision for this year? What is the vision that God is giving you? What are your hopes for this year? Well, I hope to get through it. I hope to survive it. And maybe God would like a little more ambition than that. What might you dare to dream of for this coming year? What do you dare to dream of for this coming year? Well, I know that you like me to do all the work and to tell you what your hopes are and your vision and your dreams. But actually, this is about all of us, isn't it? It's not just about what the minister says the church should do, because that's not the sort of church we are. God speaks through all of us. So I'm going to suggest that you just for a minute, just talk to the person next to you. If you've got an odd number in the row, then three of you can talk to each other about what is your vision for this year? What do you really hope for? What do you dream for this year? Okay, I know what happens when I start you like this, half of you will have got off track and be talking about next week's football match. But others of you, now I've got you started, can't stop. So does anybody want to share what they feel may be a hope or dream for the coming year? Some might be hoping to pass their exams.
Yeah. More outreach.
More outreach, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Get alongside our neighbours.
Get alongside your neighbours. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, recognizing those opportunities when they arise. Yeah, yeah. 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 So we've seen groups begin to grow. We want to see that to continue during the year. Yeah. Yeah.
Like seeing new people coming in.
Yeah. To be bolder within our own families. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Issuer hopes to climb the pulpit this year. But Alex hopes he doesn't. So. Well, as we thought back over the year and prayed about what God was saying about this current year, we came to the year text that Shona mentioned from Colossians chapter 2 verses 6 to 7, which says this: "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." I think you'll see in that there's a sort of a continuity with what God's been doing, that we didn't feel that God was saying tear down everything that's been done so far and start new, but rather that we grow and develop in what God has been doing in us in the last year. So when I was thinking about this, looking ahead into the year, I thought we had an away day this year, didn't we, where some of us went to Ely and heard what God was saying to us there and discovered some of our gifts together and helps and encourage one another in those. And this year I felt that we should do a church day, something here, rather than going away, because that would involve some people that can't get away for a whole day, and to do something together here. And the theme that I think God's given me for that is this: to fan into flame the gift of God. So having done some work in discovering, how might we do that? How might we fan into flame the gifts of God? To recognize them, to eagerly desire them, to exercise them. I was thinking about that flame image, and as a scientist I go to heat, oxygen and fuel, the flame. How do we sustain that flame? Seeking God's grace to warm our hearts, to give us that heat within us. The encouragement, the oxygen of encouragement. And if you can stick with the analogy, the carbon dioxide of discouragement. How many know that when you've tried to exercise a gift and somebody says, no, you didn't do that right. You didn't get that right. How eager are you to have another go? Yeah, that's exactly how we feel. You fall flat on your face. And unless there's somebody there to pick you up and give you a cuddle, you're not going to give it a go again, are you? You've tried it, it hurt, you don't go there again. So we need that encouragement from each other. And I think as we seek out those that can encourage our gifts and develop them in us, then we grow in them. We fan them into flame. And we do so as we study the scriptures in order to provide fuel for that fire, as we understand what it is that God is calling us to, the purpose that he has for us, that we can't achieve that without the gifts. And we say that we want to be a loving, worshipping, evangelistic church, but we can't be that unless we're also a spirit-filled church. So we need to be spirit-filled in order to complete the task that God has given us. Our aim isn't to be spirit-filled. Our aim is to do those things that God asks us to do. But it is through being filled with the Spirit that we're enabled to do those things. So I'd love to see during this year some workshops. So it encourages in that, in the different spiritual gifts that he's given, whether it's prayer ministry or prophecy or teaching or evangelism, to develop those gifts and encourage them in each other. I'm looking forward to baptisms in the year. And I say plural. I've got one planned, but I'd love to see more than one baptism in the year, that the Lord would move in hearts, that we would do those things in our own personal lives. And I think it's a huge encouragement to us all as we see an individual taking that step that we ourselves have taken of personal commitment to the Lord Jesus, to be reminded to do that again, to persevere in our commitment to the Lord and our openness to being led by him. I'd like to see an Alpha course. We're running the Youth Alpha at the moment. I'd love for them to run Alpha themselves. I think it'd be great to see the young people inviting in their own friends and just doing the mechanics of it themselves and putting that on and enabling them to witness to their own school friends. So I'd love to see Alpha run in the church, whether it's just through the youth or through the adults as well. With Holiday at Home, I think it's going to be a case of building on the foundations that we've built. We did some great work during the year. The team worked really hard, and we made some connections outside the church. But there's more to do. There's further to go. There's new people to be brought in. And now, as that message goes out into the village and went out through Clunch of pictures of what happened during the year through Holiday at Home, others know what we're talking about. So they might come next time. People that haven't been anywhere near the church before might come. So that's my hope and my dream for that. Just this week, there's a deadline for Youth for Christ's residential, Alive. It's called Alive, which is taking place in Burwell House, just up the road. And I'd love to see lots of our young people going to that. Because, you know, when you go away to these Christian events, that's when you decide whether it's your personal faith or it's your parents' faith. So I'd encourage those who are parents of teenagers to give the space for their children and young people to really explore their own faith and to come to their own living faith. And that's the Alive residential. Pray for that. Pray for those from our own church and those from other churches that will be attending. Thanks to Ray and the Sunday Club team, we got a really great children's work going here. They do an excellent job. And it is, despite there being a low number of children here today, there's a growing number of children that are coming week by week. And that means we need more people to be involved in that. It's a good team, but we need more to enable different groups so that they can do different age groups. It's really hard to do from 3 to 16. You know, that's tricky. So to try and split those groups up a little bit more. I think a key thing that God's been saying to us, so it wasn't that I said, you know, this is what I'd like in the year, but I think I've heard God saying this, is that he wants us to be more committed in prayer. God's made it clear that this needs to be a year of prayer. Through prophetic words and scriptures, he's calling us to a new season of prayer. We're about to enter the week of prayer for Christian unity. And I want to encourage you to join us on Wednesday this week, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock at Trinity Church, where we'll be praying together as part of that week of prayer for Christian unity. Later in the year, we're planning to join with the churches of the whole land in a season of prayer, which is entitled Thy Kingdom Come. And I thought it'd be nice to have the Archbishop of Canterbury speaking to us this morning. So we're going to have a little video now that will just introduce the understanding of what this season of prayer might look like.
We often say to people, I'll pray for you. Or when there's a big disaster, people end by saying, our thoughts and prayers are with. As often as not, it means, I hope things go well for you. But in this time of prayer between Ascension and Pentecost, we're seeking to turn those good wishes, that expression of concern, into a reality. When we pray, we meet with God. And as often as not, we become the answer to our own prayers. That's one of the most exciting things. God, in some extraordinary way, acts with us, says, come and be my partner, come alongside, share with me, take part. And the world changes. In 2017, between Ascension and Pentecost, in our own calendar, we are seeking to pray for people to know who Jesus is. We pray for the Holy Spirit to empower every Christian, all of us, to give us a passion for sharing and witnessing the good news we have in Jesus Christ. That sense of what he's done for us, how amazing it is to know that we are loved by Jesus, that there is salvation, that when we turn to him in repentance, we find forgiveness. When we turn to him in despair, we find hope. Just the most extraordinary miracle. So what's going to happen? There'll be prayer in localities, in local churches, in non-churches, in all kinds of places. Secondly, there'll be beacon events, central events in well-known churches, in cathedrals, in big centres, where people can come together in their thousands as they did in 2016 and made a huge impact as they prayed passionately.
What made us decide to get involved was the sense that it was something that reached out throughout the whole church.
It was a wonderful opportunity to gather people together from all over the diocese and indeed beyond.
Prayer walks, individual prayer, prayer groups. We held an exhibition.
24/7 prayer rooms, some held special events, there was a prayer pilgrimage.
Simply to open the doors of our church throughout the day from 8 to 8.
The result was absolutely incredible.
Through the week of prayer of Thy Kingdom Come, God grew in us.
Community kids who don't normally ever even talk about God are getting involved.
Our building could be a wonderful missional resource.
We actually pull out, we want more.
Wonderfully encouraging to seeing the worldwide church mobilised in prayer.
If anybody thinking of getting involved in 2017, I would say seize the opportunity.
You'll be unprepared, you wish there were other things you could have done, and that's exactly the place when God uses us.
It may be a bit uncomfortable, it may sort of stretch what you're used to, but it's really good to welcome not only God's people, but to God's Spirit.
People can share their talents.
Just come.
Let's get together in calling out to God, in prayer, in whatever way we like, wherever we are, that our often lukewarm or cold hearts are set on fire with love for Jesus, that he is the answer to the fears, the despairs of all life. Get together your way. Witness your way. Pray your way. With God, the impossible is possible.
Thank you. Interested? Yeah, six of us are interested. That's great. Are you interested? Yeah, yeah. It's great, isn't it? This seems to be a real move of God. These things start in different places, and this one happened to start in the Anglican Church. That doesn't mean it's bad. Okay. But it's been accepted through the whole breadth of churches together across the country, and I think that's a real sign of God drawing us together. And when you think about the specific aim that we're praying for people to come to know who Jesus is and that we might be filled with his Spirit, that is something we can absolutely say, count me in. That's something that our hearts warm to and say, yes, we would love every church to be praying for that and open to God doing that work amongst us. So I think that's encouraging to us. I think one or two prophets are saying that there has been a spiritual change along with a political upheaval, and that maybe this is a time that God might start something new amongst us. And that's the time that we need to gather to pray, that we get on board with what God's doing and really change with the season, that we too become open to what it is that God's doing at this time. So I commend that to you. There'll be more about that, obviously, as the year unfolds, more details about when the events will be and how we get involved. But I think it needs to be more than just that season of prayer. We've got a growing and dynamic prayer meeting on Monday nights, but it needs to be more than that. Every believer needs to be engaged in that ongoing relationship and conversation with God, but it needs to be more than that. I think we need a heart change. A heart change from an attitude to corporate worship and prayer that sees it as a duty and transforms it into seeing it as a delight. I long to go up to the house of the Lord. I long to gather with others in prayer. Why is it that the Korean Christian church gathers at silly o'clock in the morning to pray? Not because they feel it's their duty, because they long to be there. They've seen what happens when they pray. They've seen God change the heart of a nation. They've seen God sweep through their families, bringing salvation. They've seen healings. They've seen the church grow and prosper under God's hand when they've prayed. Nobody needs to say, you must be at the prayer meeting, because why wouldn't they be? They see that that's what's effective. That's what's working. So I'd encourage you to pray about that, to see if the Lord will change your heart and the attitude of your heart to say, yes, I want to be part of what God's doing, and I want to be involved in that conversation with him, with other believers. I continue to dream of small groups growing in numbers, as Barry was saying. You know, we've seen some growth in that, but we would really love to see these small groups multiplying and growing. And one opportunity we've got is, we're way beyond all of that. Where are we? This is a very good recap. It just proves I wasn't making it up. There you go. There's a great opportunity for adults in their discipleship to grow as whole life disciples. We're using materials again from the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity. Last year we did Life on the Front Line. Hands up if you came along to Life on the Front Line. Yeah, more people on this side than that side. But there's probably about 10 people here that came last year. We found that format of a short input from a DVD with a really good speaker to just raise a topical issue in our lives and then time to talk about a Bible passage and apply it in our lives really helpful. And we had people from different denominations coming together to do that. Some people came along just for that study, don't normally go to small groups, but during that period leading up to Easter, they were willing to come along and be part of a group once a week to allow God to speak to them and disciple them in that way. So we're doing that again with new materials. I've not seen these before. I've done Life on the Front Line once before and thought it was really good. The church I was at before I came here, we did Life on the Front Line, and they followed it the year after with Fruitfulness on the Front Line. And they said, it's even better than Life on the Front Line. So I don't know, but that's what they said. So I'm looking forward to being involved in that. We're launching it on the same day as the prayer meeting for the Week of Prayer of Christian Unity. So Wednesday, the 18th of January, and we'll start in our own small groups here on the 9th of February. Details of that in the notice sheet. I think small groups are really important, and it's through those conversations where we start to be really honest about how we apply the things that we're studying in the Bible to our lives. And for that reason, I want to support what we're doing in the small groups by a sermon series that will pick up on the same themes. And that comes from the book of Colossians, which ties in wonderfully with our year text, which happens to come from Colossians as well. So back to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. I believe we are already rooted in him, rooted in Jesus. We have been taught the faith, and we are thankful as a people. And those are things that haven't happened just in the last year. It's not in the last 18 months since I came that you suddenly discovered what the gospel is. God's been at work in you throughout your Christian life to this day. And that's the journey so far. But we continue that journey with Christ. This year we're called to be built up in him. So that talks about continuing what he started, but being built up, building on what's been laid, strengthened in the faith, not discovering faith for the first time or throwing out our faith and starting with a new one, but being strengthened in it and overflowing with thankfulness, not just being thankful, but coming to that point where we can't help but thank God for all that he's doing in us. So that speaks of that continuity with what we've already received. But it calls on us to press on for more, not to settle for what we've got and say, well, my vision for next year, for this coming year, is that it's like it was last year. You know, or maybe it was like it was 2 years ago. But to press on, to seek more from God. No plant can bear fruit without roots. But having been rooted together, this is a year for bearing fruit. So again, what are your hopes and dreams for this coming year? When you talk to each other, did you factor in that God can do far more than you can ask or imagine? How big were your dreams? Could we achieve all of our hopes and dreams just by a little more human effort? If so, then our hopes and dreams are too small, because we've got God who is bigger than all we can ask or imagine. So what can we do to make those dreams a reality? It's being open to the Spirit and all that he can do amongst us. If you want to be built up and strengthened physically, you might join a gym. As you can see, I do that regularly. Or you might start running. But what about spiritually? How can we cooperate with God in that building up process, building up our faith? Well, I'd like to suggest we exercise it. We step out a little bit beyond what we've done in the past. We stretch it beyond what we feel comfortable with. We're bold, not arrogant, but bold, trusting that God is good and God is strong. Being courageous in doing what God asks us to do. As William Carey put it, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Attending on a Sunday is part of that, and I'm really glad that you're here. But it has to be more than just coming together on a Sunday. Personal prayer and Bible study, discerning God's call on your life, eagerly desiring spiritual gifts to help you fulfill that calling. Yes, all of that. But the main thing right now that God's saying to us is that we must have a willing spirit, a total obedience and dependence upon him, a surrender to his purpose and will for you as an individual and us as a church. So why not just spend a moment now to actually ask God, what is the next step for me, Lord? What are you asking me to do? Because it's as God adds up all those tiny little steps that he asks each of us to do, that he will achieve his plans for us as a church. So let's just spend a moment to ask God that question. What are you asking me to do as my next step? maybe that you would want to spend some more time praying about what you feel God's been saying to you this morning. And if you want to talk to me about it, that's fine, that's what I'm here for. Maybe you need to write down what you feel God's saying, that you can come back to it during the year.